the 23rd Psalm. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. There are wonderful words to live by. And they are the only words to die by. For if the Lord is your shepherd, in every situation you come into, all the hardships, he is with you in them. Even when you're surrounded by enemies, he prepares a table for you in the midst. But when it's still waters and green pastures, he's the one leading you and laying you down in them. And then when it comes to the time when you must leave behind all other comforts, if you have enjoyed him as your shepherd through the hard, through the pleasant, then that which was your greatest comfort and your greatest pleasure, you need not lay behind. For there is only one that you can take with you in death. And so truly Jesus is the only help for us when we face death as a reality. And he is the only hope for us when we face death as an enemy. And he is the only comfort for us when we are in the agony of losing someone who is near to us. In Psalm 23, it is not so much the stillness of the waters, the greenness of the pastures, as it is that the Lord Jesus would be our shepherd. It's not still waters and green pastures I shall not want. It's the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's no restoring of the soul except Jesus' restoring of the soul. And there's no walking in paths of righteousness unless Jesus is the one who leads us in paths of righteousness. And though death as a reality is a deep, dark shadow, if it is that same rod and staff of the Lord Jesus that has been your direction and protection through life, then when you have that rod and staff with you, even in the valley, you know that you will fear no evil, because it is the Lord Jesus, your shepherd, who is with you. But the Lord Jesus is not just our only help when facing death as reality. He's also the only hope in facing death as an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 17 and going through verse 26, the Holy Spirit says, "If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, for you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ will have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. We are tempted to think of Betz's dying as just a part of life. But every one of us knows something about this is wrong. This is not the way it should be. And it was not the way it was created to be. Even knowing the resurrection victory of Jesus, the Holy Spirit teaches us to call death an enemy, a defeated enemy, and a one day to be destroyed enemy. Death is an enemy because it reminds us that it itself is the wages of each and every one of our sins that must come due. Death reminds us that it is against the living God that we have sinned, and that each of us justly deserves not only a death, but hell itself for despising this God who has given us life. What we are here thinking about and hearing about this morning puts current events into stark contrast, because the division of humanity is being emphasized in our culture. But we are all united in our one Father, Adam, and we sinned in him, and we died in him. We are one race, and as sin and death came from our first father, truly we are a dying race. But Christ has died for sinners. He has borne on his cross God's infinite and holy fury against sin, because God sent him in love to bear that fury in sinners' place. In his death, Jesus has paid off the debt that is the wages of sin. And when he rose again from the dead, as the scripture says, testified that all who believe in him have a valid hope, for we are not still in our sins. If Jesus Christ is your life in this world, and he has defeated death, and you have committed yourself to him, not only are you not in your sins, but also, as this says, as surely as he rose from the dead, so shall you. It is good and right to hate death, since the Lord teaches us to call it our enemy. And it is not wrong to acknowledge and feel the pain and loss that it brings. But just as death teaches us that our days are numbered, so also the scripture here teaches us that death's days are numbered. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus Christ has defeated it, and he will finally destroy it altogether. Jesus isn't just our help in facing death as a reality, and the only hope when facing death as an enemy. He is our comfort when death takes our dear ones and leaves us in an agony. John 11, verse 4, Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick. He says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." 7 verses later, he tells his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." And they don't understand what he's saying, perhaps because he said the sickness was not unto death. A few verses later, he tells them, says, "Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" And then in verse 32, going through verse 35, when Mary came where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Truly, the death of a dear one is an agony. But the sympathy of the Lord Jesus is a great comfort in that agony. On another occasion, if we came to consider the passage as a whole, surely the main thing that we would be considering was the mighty power of the Lord Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, and his plan and his certainty to raise Lazarus from the dead and display the glory of God, even as he told his disciples was the purpose in verse 4 and verses 14 and 15. But it is against the backdrop of that purpose that we consider for a moment now the amazing weeping of Jesus in verse 35. If we were to keep reading, the Jews would say, "See how he loved him," thinking that Jesus was weeping over his loss of Lazarus. For they did not know, like Jesus did, that it would just be a couple of minutes and he would call Lazarus out of that tomb. No, the scripture tells us that when he saw Mary weeping and the other Jews who were there weeping, that he groaned in his spirit and he was extremely troubled. It even implies the logistics of, "Where have you laid him?" And they say, "Lord, come and see." Where perhaps part of his dealing with his human emotions. And then he wept. One of the most famous scriptures in the Bible about the true and full humanity of our Lord, Jesus wept, was his sympathy for those who are hurting over the loss of a loved one, even against the backdrop of all the good that he intended to do. When a dear one dies, you may not know the specific purposes for it in the plans of the Lord. Perhaps it is for you, as it was In John 11, the sickness is not unto death, but that you would see Jesus' glory. Perhaps it is for you, as he said later in the chapter, I am glad that you were not there so that you might believe. But whatever the Lord's purposes are, as you agonize and weep in your loss, in the midst of those purposes not yet completed, you can see Jesus here and know that he is the same today, and that you have the sympathy of the Lord God who had become a man to save sinners. So the question before us all this morning and for our whole life is, do you have this Jesus? The Good Shepherd is the only and great help that you can take into death itself, to face death as a reality. What can the dark shadow do to you when it comes your turn to go? If you belong to this Jesus, and the shepherd who led you through your whole life will still be with you in your death. And Jesus Christ has defeated death. Its days are numbered. He will finally destroy it altogether. And even though he sits now enthroned in glory and power, still he sympathizes with the agony and tears of his dear ones below, who lose their dear ones. So he brings us here today, in the light of a dear one's death, not so much that we might consider the great and weighty reality of death, but rather that we might consider the greater and weightier reality of our Lord Jesus himself, the Savior of sinners, the Good Shepherd, death's already defeater and future destroyer, and the sympathizer with you who weep. Let's pray. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, who are good and faithful, and who are with your sheep through everything, even in death. And we praise you for defeating death and rising again. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us now by the power of your Spirit to believe in you, that indeed we would not be in our sins, but our death would be a prelude to our own resurrection in the day that you destroy death altogether. And so come near us, we pray, comforting us not only by these truths about yourself, but even by your own sympathy with us in our weeping. Lead us in paths of righteousness. For your own name's sake, we pray, so that we may dwell in your house, O Lord, forever. In your own matchless name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.